Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. A lot of activity as President-elect Donald Trump builds out his cabinet. It also has resulted in some congressional vacancies. There's been some movement there as well. Scott Parkinson has all the details. Scott, good to have you here.
Great to be back, Loman.
Let us begin. Florida, it seems, Scott, is almost becoming a farm team here for the Trump administration. A lot of Floridians are headed to Washington, D.C.
Yeah, it's been fascinating to watch because obviously Trump has had the central location of Mar-a-Lago where he's been operating his campaign. And I think that it's a central location for people in politics to try to get their foot in the door and get, you know, noticed by the Trump administration. It's worked out for a lot of people. But, you know, unfortunately, for some of us that are watching the close margin in the House of Representatives, President Trump elected and nominated a couple of Floridians for important positions within his administration. And the first one is a guy named Michael Waltz, and he is in the 6th Congressional District of Florida. President Trump has named him to be his national security advisor. And that's an interesting district. It's actually the same congressional district that Ron DeSantis represented when he served in Congress from 2012 to 2018. And this week, President Trump threw his support behind somebody named Randy Fine. And Randy has served in the Florida legislature in the state house for about 8 years, was just elected to the state Senate, but has been a big Trump ally down there in Florida. And President Trump threw his complete and total endorsement behind Randy. So it'll be interesting because this week we've got those filing deadlines. And in Florida, you actually have a law in place where you have to resign in order to run for office. It did not apply to Governor DeSantis when he ran for president, but it does apply if somebody in the state legislature or city council or another local position chooses to run for the House of Representatives. And so we're watching closely to see if Randy has any Republican opponents and also whether or not a Democrat files, because that district is a safe Republican seat. So if nobody files against Randy, he could be the winner through acclamation. You can avoid the special elections, I guess, in late in the winter and early in the spring for the general election. He could start serving in January. So that's something we're really keeping our eye on. And then when you go over to the panhandle, where the 1st Congressional District of Florida is, Matt Gaetz was initially nominated to be Attorney General. He withdrew his nomination last week, didn't want to be a distraction toward the Trump administration, following sort of the Ethics Committee in the House, and really a major hurdle in the United States Senate to be able to receive confirmation. There were, I think, 4 senators that had been rumored within Washington, D.C. to be opposing the Gaetz nomination. And unfortunately, that's sort of a victory for the swamp because we know Matt Gaetz would have been fantastic at the Justice Department, being the hammer for Donald Trump and making sure that we can root out the deep state. So anyways, in that 1st district, this week, we saw a big endorsement from Trump for the chief financial officer of Florida. His name is Jimmy Patronis, and Jimmy is a statewide elected official. He's been elected to that position twice and previously was appointed CFO when Jeff Atwater left that office. So Jimmy was appointed by Rick Scott, I think, in about 2016. Then he was elected in 2018 and just reelected in 2022. But he's a really, really strong candidate there. And, you know, even if other people get in this race, I think it's worth noting, Loman, how strong the Trump endorsement is. We've seen it in primaries all across America for the last 8 years. But in addition to that, now that he's won his reelection and is coming in as the big dog, I think it effectively clears the field for any serious candidates that are looking to run for any of those special elections. Trump made nominations, created the vacancy, and he ultimately is effectively filling those vacancies with people that he supports strongly in Randy Fine and Jimmy Patronis.
And another Floridian has been selected for the cabinet. You mentioned Matt Gaetz had withdrawn his nomination to be Attorney General, but Floridian will be holding that position anyhow. Want to tell us a bit about her?
Yeah, Pam Bondi was Attorney General of Florida underneath Rick Scott, and it's an elected position. It's not an appointed one, but she also helped defend President Trump against impeachment in the United States Senate. She has, I think, over 30 years of experience in the legal community, from being a prosecutor to obviously being attorney general. And there's been strong signals that she's going to sail through the United States Senate with confirmation. So another excellent pick there. And we talk about Florida a lot, but you know, you also have this vacancy created in the United States Senate seat because one of my former bosses, Marco Rubio, was nominated to be Secretary of State. And through that nomination, the governor can actually appoint a United States senator to fill the rest of the campaign cycle. So basically, it would be an appointment in January of 2025, and then you would have a special election in November of 2026 to fill the remainder of Marco Rubio's term. Some of your listeners might remember that Marco Rubio rode the Tea Party wave to political office in the United States Senate in 2010. He was reelected in 2016 and reelected in 2022. So his seat technically isn't up until 2028. That means whoever gets appointed, if they wish to run for reelection, then they have to run in 2026 and they have to run in 2028 for a full 6-year term.
Well, that's a lot of running, but it is, after all, a very important seat in the United States Senate. You talked about the couple members of Congress here, Scott, from Florida, who have been picked by Donald Trump to be in his administration. There are others around the country, Elise Stefanik in New York and others. Where do we stand in terms of the Republican majority? It's very thin. How does all of this affect the Republican majority?
So right now, Republicans have 219 seats. They've clinched that majority. You need 218 to have the majority and 218 seats to win the majority out of 435 members of the House of Representatives. And Democrats hold 213 seats. Now, that means there's three races that still haven't been called. And obviously, these are incredibly close races that are kind of going through the recount portion and just haven't been called by the Associated Press. I think you've got two races in California and one in Iowa. But it's really expected that Republicans will have probably 220 seats. Then you take the people out like Elise Stefanik, like Michael Waltz, and then with Matt Gaetz in his district, and the way that those all get filled, it doesn't add a Democrat, right? So it just really brings the majority down while these vacancies are there. Republicans will still have, you know, 217 or 218 members in the House. And then as we sort of adjudicate the question on some of these nominations, as well as filling the vacancies through special elections, that majority will grow. So it's Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House of Representatives. It's his responsibility to make sure that Republicans are unified and not peeling off or voting present to give Democrats the ability to sort of take over the majority. It's something we should all be keeping our eye on. It's going to be a really, really challenging time, I think, in the first 100 days when we have such a slim majority. But if anybody can herd cats, that's what the leadership of the House of Representatives is responsible to do.
Well, Mike Johnson certainly has one of the more difficult jobs in Washington, D.C. Scott Parkinson, his job is to keep an eye on all of this, which he does from the Club for Growth. Tell us a bit about the club.
Club for Growth is based out of Washington, D.C. We are united in the idea of economic freedom, liberty, and opportunity. If you want to check us out at clubforgrowth.org, you can learn more about the candidates that we've previously supported, and you can actually sign up and become a member for free. It's Club for Growth.
Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. Scott, thank you for being here.
You're welcome.